the air, pulls it in at the 15, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. He slams it over the goalpost.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the POD cast, the podcast that stands for Pride of Detroit. It's what it does. It is on iTunes. You can find the podcast there. Make sure to subscribe, listen there on Blog Talk Radio as well. Pride of Detroit from prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, and Pride of Detroit on Facebook. It's myself, Chris Lemieux, the writer and podcaster of Pride of Detroit, with managing editor Jeremy Reisman on a very early Pacific morning for him, because we had to get in here a little early to talk about some of the news.
It's an emergency congregation.
An emergency congregation. We have to talk about Kelly Cozzoli, named Senior Vice President of Business Development for the Lions, and
this
Randy Edsall.
Huge news.
Everyone was all upset because I was so mad at the idea of Randy Edsall being anywhere near my Lions.
He's a Terp, baby. Go Terps.
He's a Terp. Oh. No, we got to talk about Calvin Johnson.
Do we? I don't want to.
We've been dancing around it for a while, and if you've been reading Pride of Detroit for a while, you know we've been covering this since about the start of the offseason. Like, it's been in the news, and it's been speculated on a lot of things as to when Calvin Johnson could retire, why he's retiring, everything else. And I think Sunday evening we got a little bit of a better window into the mind. It feels like it has a lot more credence to it. It feels like it's gone from maybe 50-50 to now, like, this seems like a done deal.
Yeah. I said 50-50 to 90-10 yesterday. This morning I'm waking up and thinking it's more like 98-2.
Yeah, it's not good. Like, if you've been weighing it for a whole season, like...
He decided before the season.
He decided, and then he spent the whole season playing through a bad ankle.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. You added on to that, hey, I'm quitting, and then you added on to that another year of just screwing up your ankle and getting hurt and getting injured. And, you know, going through everything it did, we've seen the vine of Calvin Johnson falling down at the end of that Hail Mary a million times. There's a lot to process here.
It was a tough season for him to endure, I'm sure, but it is important to make that distinction that he had made this decision before the season. You know, the Lions coming off an 11-5 season, their second playoff appearance in over 10 years, almost 15 years. This doesn't really have anything to do with how bad of a year it was last year, how bad of a team really the Lions are. And I think the news that it came that he made this decision before the 2015 season made that shockingly clear, and hopefully, well, I know it won't put that that storyline to death, but it should to anyone who's actually paying attention.
You're talking about the Lions waste talent, the Lions, you know, choke the will to win out of everyone. The Lions make people want to leave the game. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that one. The one that really has no basis in reality, but is just some sort of manifestation of fans' frustrations of the team themselves.
Sure.
Calvin's tired of putting his body through this, and that's that.
There's a lot of things that come around that, too, because I was already seeing some people saying, like, no, you know, stay, we'll fire Jim Caldwell. I was like, you realize Jim Caldwell's the reason why he's even contemplating this further than he is right now. Because Caldwell was the one at the end of the year who said, take some time, you really need to think this through.
Yeah.
Like, and just think about that.
To me, like, I've always not been a Caldwell supporter, but that was kind of the aha moment for me, where it's like, okay, I actually see his inherent worth outside of game day decisions. I mean, we can get into the whole debate sometime else. But I don't know how many coaches could convince their players to sit on it for a month, because what's there really to gain from Calvin Johnson? If he's set in his mind, if he's been thinking about it for almost a full year, it's got to be hard to get him to say, hey, I know you've been sitting on this for a year, but think about it a little more. Take your time away from football and see what that does to you.
And it speaks well to what Johnson values as far as Jim Caldwell's opinion on the matter, too, and probably, you know, some of the ancillary things of Caldwell not wanting to get fired at the end of the year, too. And I'm sure that if Johnson decided to retire while everyone was trying to figure out what to do with Caldwell, probably might have hurt. But I wanted to go back to that one point you had about, like, yeah, it's not a matter of losing. You know, he was decided this after an 11-5 season, and most people thinking that the Lions, even though they lost quite a bit, would still probably put up a winning record, a valiant effort. They weren't expecting what happened to this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks really to Calvin's, I don't know, his commitment to this idea of retiring. If he's willing to go out while this organization has seemingly turned things around, that just tells you how serious he was considering this and how unhappy he is playing football and putting his body through that.
Right, and it's very tricky to get around that. I wrote about this on Monday, just the whole, you know, it's so hard to, and we're dealing with it more and more in football, the idea of people deciding that, you know, earlier on in their career, it's, you know, a little easier to decide that maybe I don't need to waste my body as badly as I need to, right? Like, I was trying to remember what I was reading. It was someone who was kind of talking about the reasons why some guys are quitting. He took a very simplistic view of why guys are, you know, walking away from the game earlier and talking about, well, they're earning more money now, and, you know, they're having distractions outside of the game. And I don't know. I feel like he was I don't really have the tone in front of me. It was just a transcript, so I don't know if it was being posited as being a negative or a positive in that regard, right? But if you are someone who believes that football is the end-all be-all to a player's career, that, you know, it's about chasing rings and chasing championships and chasing playoff wins and records, that somehow is a bad thing. But I don't see it as a bad thing. If he wants to retire and care for his body and mind, I don't think anyone can really blame him. I'm sure people will blame him for it, but you can't really blame him for that. I don't know how else to say it.
And to me, this, I mean, you got into it a little bit with your article on Monday about this whole idea of quitting and how it's got this connotation of being cowardly. I almost viewed in the exact opposite context, where this is an insanely brave thing to do,
mm-hmm.
in spite of all of, you know, probably his teammates, his friends, everyone trying to probably push him to come back another year. He's got the ability to go, hey, you know what? I know all that's true, but this is what's best for me. And that's a really tough thing to do when there's a whole city that's riding on, you know, your success, your ability. The whole city is like really proud of this guy and wants to see him continue to succeed, and to quit at a time when he still has something left takes a lot of bravery.
Does he have something left, though? I mean, I know he could play another season if he wants to, but right. I mean, that's a very relative statement to make, though, is saying he has something left, because all it takes then is just screwing up his ankle again, and then, sure, you know, what's he got then? That's what makes this so hard, too, because we don't want to say anything bad about Calvin Johnson. And we're painting the idea of saying he has nothing left as something bad, too. This is what I, you know, this is the myriad tropes that this thing brings up, that any seemingly early retirement brings up when a guy's retiring in his late 20s, early 30s, away from football, when the expectation has been for so many years is that these guys hold on as long as they can to the game of football, and they almost have to be forced away from the game by contract and by and by free agency that they have to be forced away rather than deciding themselves willingly, no, I'm going to hang up my cleats. I'm going to stop playing football.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say whether he really has something left. I think considering all the pain he probably went through this season, both physically and emotionally, and considering he put up another 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, another 1,000-yard season.
Eight or so touchdowns or whatever it was. That makes me think he can at least do it for another year and not necessarily, you know, top 10 wide receiver in the league do it, but he's still a force to be reckoned with in terms of grabbing attention from opposing defensive backs and drawing attention away from guys like Golden Tate and Eric Ebron.
Oh, sure. I'm sure physically he could keep doing this for a while longer, right, more than just 1 year. But at the same time, too, it's just a matter of the constant rehabbing and everything else that goes on.
Right.
It's just a matter of how long do you want to push your body and at what point does everything there snap? I really don't know what it is. Michael Rosenberg, I'm sorry, I completely screwed up that name, at SI.com actually had a great article. I should probably try to retweet it or add it into whatever post this podcast goes into.
Yeah, it was part of Monday's notes as well.
Oh, was it on the Monday's notes? Okay, I haven't poured through like the million things we've been writing today. We're recording on Monday morning, too, by the way. But he wrote a really good thing in there about just, you know, what goes through the head of Calvin Johnson and, you know, how he says, you know, if he doesn't have a 100-yard game, he kind of sees that as a failure on himself. And I'm sure there was a few games where he was nearly held under that quite a bit this year.
Yeah, one thing I took from that article that I had kind of forgotten is his desire to be the best wide receiver in the league.
Right, and that's not measured either by, I think, necessarily just wins and losses, but like just he wants to prove that he can do those gaudy stats and not for a reason of any kind of ego or anything, but just because he knows he has those tools with him.
And I think that's important to remember because I think the narrative is going to change a little bit on his career as we get a little further away from his retirement, that his heart wasn't in the game, which is not at all the case to me. His heart was there. He wanted to be the best wide receiver in the league. He just couldn't physically do it to himself anymore.
Right, and that's the changing attitude I'm talking about. A lot of guys, I think, in the past would say, you know, if you're retiring at 31, you're quitting the game, you are giving up on football, and that's a bad thing. That's something you can't do. It breaks a man code of some kind, right?
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the problem that we're dealing with. And again, we've seen over the years guys starting to retire earlier and earlier, and we've been grappling with how to really talk about it without diving back down in there. I feel like it's a very thinly veiled thing in sports. People want to say it. They want to say it, but they don't want to do it to their heroes. So when a guy like, say, an Antoine Randall L. comes along, or, you know, Chris Borland comes along, it becomes a little easier for people to dive at them. For Calvin Johnson, it's very hard for them to say that. So it creates some tension on how we regard it, and it creates a need to find other reasons why this all failed.
Yeah, but I think the tide is shifting. I mean, obviously,
yes,
there's a huge emphasis on concussions in the last few years, and players themselves are coming out and talking about how they don't trust medical evaluators on the team and things like that. So this is going to be a more acceptable thing as time goes, and I think Calvin Johnson's retirement might be a big step in accepting players' decision to leave the game early.
Well, he's definitely the biggest name right now, right? Like, I know Maurice Jones-Drew retired. I know Patrick Willis retired, but I think of these guys retiring around this age, like, unless Marshawn Lynch retires this offseason, which he could, it could be Lynch and Johnson gone in a single year, and I think that 1-2 punch would be enough to make people really sit up and pay attention to this issue.
Yeah.
And you talk about concussions, but at the same time, I know one of the tropes I've heard from football players is that they would rather take a concussion than see someone like dive at their knees or take out their ankles, because that's,
sure,
you know, but granted, they say that in the context that that's their career ending right there. But at the same time too, you got to imagine like going afterwards too, your ability to get around. I don't see, you know, we're concussion is such a dangerous injury because we don't know the full effects yet, but it doesn't diminish the other injuries that would linger with you. It's not just a matter of, you know, waiting to heal. Some guys after football, these injuries last a whole lifetime with them.
Yeah, yeah, you walk with a limp permanently, your fingers are permanently mangled, things like that. Yeah, it takes a toll long term, and that's what Calvin is trying to get away from. He doesn't want to walk with that permanent limp on his ankle or you know, be slew-footed or whatever for the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure there just got to be, you know, certain dreams which kind of revolve around the use of his foot like that, that
right.
doesn't want that to happen. I'm trying to remember, was it Derrick Rose? Derrick Rose got in trouble a couple years ago. Chicago Bulls NBA Derrick Rose star got in trouble a few years ago because he was saying he's trying to preserve his body for after basketball, that he wants to be able to, you know, use his legs properly to walk with his girl up to graduate, to see his girl at graduation, to walk her up the aisle and everything like that. And people called him very selfish for saying that. And I think if we change that and make that something that comes out of Calvin Johnson's mouth, I don't know if people see the same thing about that. I think that's probably a change in the attitude.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, I feel like 10, 15 years from now, we're going to look back on things like that, our reaction to Derrick Rose, and just like slap ourselves in the face and say, what the hell were we thinking?
I don't know. I don't know if it can really be that that soon, but I hope for so. I hope for a more compassionate outlook on these players. I think we, as guys talking about it, we're probably in a minority still, though, I'm sure. Because I used to work with guys who worked in, like, you know, a factory. I worked in a factory where guys made glass powder. And they still embody that, you know, when I talk with them about sports, they still embody a very anti-player mentality.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're at the bottom of the chain and they look up at these guys gifted who are earning all this money and saying, what are you doing? You know, never let go of that. So it's hard because no one really has – it's very hard for people to have that kind of perspective, to have that kind of all-encompassing perspective we're talking about.
Yeah, like I said, I think we're changing that. I think we're starting to be able to view these people as human beings, not just purely athletes that serve our entertainment mm-hmm. value. Part of the reason is social media. We get to see these people outside of their jobs. We get to see these people – in their true personalities, and we see all the outpour from of love from Calvin Johnson from his teammates, and you know they're not disrespecting him in any sort of way, and of course they'd be buried if they did, but
sure.
Just I think the openness that the internet, that social media has given us has humanized these people at least a little more, and hopefully, you know, people learn to respect these people's decisions as their decisions.
Sure, sure. I would hope so, too. Now, there is one more thing here we need to kind of lay to rest here. And I wanted to talk about it. I ended up scything it off of some of the other things I wrote just because I was so mad about the whole thing. But what do you make? This has brought out some really dumb opinions for people, too, though, at the same time. And I won't even talk about the one that I really hate. We're going to leave the whole same old Lions crew out of it. But we're also going to talk about some of their stuff. This whole idea that Calvin Johnson should have been traded to the Patriots and somehow that would have saved everything. Saved his career, got him a ring, you know, right off in the sunset. Some real Deus Ex Machina type shit. Like,
well, there's this thing among... Really, it's almost part of American culture where things need to be fair. Everyone who works hard and tries their best needs
sports,
to be rewarded.
Sports has to be fair, even though we've seen many years it's not fair.
Yeah, and I know Calvin Johnson, sure, I would have loved for him to get a ring. I would have loved anyone on the Lions to get a ring, but that's just not how sports work. People have to lose, and if it's one of the greatest wide receivers ever to come along, so be it. And to me, what's really weird about this is that they view like wide receiver as, I don't know, one of those positions that should bring a team to a championship. Like, if the Lions have the best wide receiver in the league, how come they haven't won a Super Bowl?
I think that, and we get that with Barry Sanders a lot too, is like you had the best running back in the league and you couldn't win it. I almost want to say Michael Jordan ruined it for everyone, right? Like this whole idea, because you can do that in basketball, even though there's some guys in basketball who by their lonesome couldn't carry a team to the top, looking at you, Charles Barkley. And that's not taking away from Charles Barkley's greatness either. And I'm sorry I keep going back to basketball on this. But in this case, in Michael Jordan, he kind of ruined the whole formula for everyone, right? Because he was so singularly good and he was so transcendent, not just out of basketball, but in all of sports, that people bought into that myth, and maybe it was certainly there before him, but he kind of gave it a new shot in the arm.
Sure.
About the idea that one singular talent can be enough to win, that a guy can take over and win a game. And I think we in football are a little too guilty sometimes of trying to appropriate those kind of tropes from basketball and even some things from baseball and try to make it about a sport that, like, you talk about a sport that has so many moving cogs. Like, hockey doesn't have as many moving parts as football when it comes down to just how many men are on the roster, how many men are on the field at any given moment, and right, everything else. Like, it's not that simple.
Right.
And I know, you know, you can argue, well, you've also had Matthew Stafford to throw him to. Okay, sure, and they've been pretty good. But it's a hard one to unravel, isn't it? Because we're talking about a team that before Johnson and before Stafford was trying to repair itself from so many years of destruction. And that's kind of what Johnson came into, unfair or not. He came into a team who needed to be pulled up from being one of the worst in the league for so many years. And he got to see the bottom of that. He was there in 2008. He got to see what that final plummet looked like, right? Like, it took a while to rebuild this. It's not that simple of you get this guy and you get this guy and all of a sudden you're just going to start winning championships and playoff wins.
Right.
And it's hard too when you're talking about the Lions, because it's like, yeah, it's been a while, but I don't know what to say. It's just I don't know if it's a statistical anomaly. Some people want to assign blame to it. I don't have all the history in front of me. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, and you don't see teams talking about, oh, we have the greatest offensive tackle in history, and why aren't we just trading him to Patriots or the Steelers or the Seahawks so that he can get a ring? Or this only happens in the star positions and, you know, the superstar positions, and it's really unfair to put that sort of expectation on a team to get them a Super Bowl, since, you know, only one out of 32 teams gets it a year. And it's ridiculous to me that people expect that players deserve to have their hard work end in probably the toughest championship of all sports. I know some would argue maybe baseball for that, but
well, baseball's more random. I would think in football, yeah, it's just sometimes it's just unfair what you go up against, because just, I mean, yeah, the Lions can be as good as they are, and, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of running into a buzzsaw. And that's kind of the reason the Lions had so few times all these years, because sure, they were a really good team, but you know who's also really, really good in denying them the division crown almost every year? The Packers, who have Aaron Rodgers and a really good team. Like, That's kind of a cap that kind of makes it hard, but now we're kind of devolving into defending the Lions a little bit. It's supposed to be about Calvin Johnson today.
Sure.
So I don't know, but that thing kind of infuriates me, because it feels like, you know, if it was a matter of wins versus losing, like, some people are still thinking, oh, this could be, you know, a power ploy to make sure he gets traded. I don't read that at all from this situation. I don't know where you come from to really read it. I'm not just saying that as a Lions fan, but as an observer of all things NFL. Like, I don't know how you read it. It doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like this is legitimate, that Calvin Johnson doesn't want to, if he's considering retirement right now, he doesn't want to be wearing another jersey next year.
Yeah, I think that is abundantly clear. There's a 0% chance this is a ploy to get on another team.
I wouldn't put that at zero, but I put it like infinitesimally small.
If I could.
There's
no chance he wants
negative,
to get
negative, like the DeAndre Levy Chilean parasite. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Put that in the same category because this is all about him just not wanting to put his body through it. I think the story that Schefter put out made it abundantly clear. I think that's what most people thought anyways. And Kellen's just not the kind of person that does that sort of thing. His heart isn't in putting his body through it, and that's that. I don't, like you said, I don't even know where these ideas are coming up other than these weird fantasies in Lions fans' mind.
Yeah, it does feel like wishful thinking. It's just very strange. And it plays into a bunch of other tropes. And we're going to be exploring a bunch of those in the coming days at PrideOfDetroit.com, I'm sure, about, you know, the idea of Lions being losers or Calvin Johnson's decision and how that gets hijacked for other purposes or, you know, what's fair in sports. And I think that's also why I just find this team so compelling sometimes, because it's become this. No other team really gets treated like this, like historically.
It doesn't feel like it.
No, but at the same time, no other team kind of has these two athletes, right? Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson. That's going to get a lot of play too, by the way. People comparing Sanders to Johnson here.
Yeah, rightfully. I mean, I understand it. On the surface, it's very easy to compare the two. They're almost the exact same age. They both retire while they presumably have something left in the tank, but they're retiring for seemingly very different reasons. I mean, I was only 14 or 13 when the Barry Sanders thing happened, so I didn't get too into it other than, yeah, you know, it's my favorite athlete of all time leaving the game in confusion and sadness. But this, to me, almost feels a little more celebratory to me, just because Calvin Johnson's making what I think is a brave decision, and he was part of this organization's turnaround, and maybe it isn't as big a turnaround as many hope, or, you know, maybe our standards are a little lower than other organizations, but...
Well, I think our fan standards are higher, right? Like, our fan standards are really high. Like, I can understand standards being high for, like, the Eagles, but I've always kind of found that fascinating about Lions fans, the belief that, you know, this team who hasn't won a playoff game from, what was it, 1991?
Yep.
Is suddenly going to, in about, it'd be 20 years, 25 years time, is going to suddenly, everything's going to click through all this troubles and tribulations, and they're just going to go on a run to the Super Bowl. Like, it feels a little fanciful. It doesn't feel like, you want to talk about fair, that doesn't feel like how sports is supposed to work. You're supposed to work your way up there, win a playoff game, then go to a conference championship, then win that championship, so on and so forth. It's, I mean, but hey, who knows? You know, the Panthers are kind of doing something similar to that this year.
They are.
So
I mean, sports are random.
They're weird.
They don't favor the fortunate necessarily. They don't reward good behavior or hard work. Sometimes random things happen. Sometimes the John Scotts of the world get to hold a trophy over their head.
But that was awesome, though.
That was awesome.
Like, that was so awesome. No, that was what's right and good in sports, was John Scott last night at the All-Star game.
But it happened by chance.
Sure. It happened by a weird... I need to do something with it. Pride Detroit's not the venue, but I need to talk about that, because that was great. Just, man. Okay, I think we should probably wrap it up there. We've gone quite in depth in here, and we'll have some more coming. This is a very busy week for us at Pride Detroit. We're going to have some Super Bowl stuff. We're going to keep covering the Calvin Johnson and waiting very, very patiently for this decision from Megan. Who am I kidding? We're not patient at all, please.
No, just say it. End it now. Potentially move on maybe three months from now.
Let us have our catharsis. Just it feels like we're already saying our goodbyes, everyone. And like, when I saw Stephen Tulloch, by the way, what does that speak about Stephen Tulloch being one of the two that Calvin Johnson confides in? I know he had a really bad year and people want him gone from the team, but people, like, you know, Johnson went to Stafford and Tulloch, like
a defensive player.
Well, not even a defensive player, but just that particular linebacker. There's other linebackers you think of. You think of Levy, but you don't think of... Yeah, but what, like, it feels like when he was the one making that Facebook post today, like we were just like, oh, that's it. That's it. He's close in. He probably knows. So let's just please, let's, you know, everyone who's saying, well, nothing's official yet. I don't know what you're waiting for, but God bless you. Wish I had your hope.
Yeah, right. I wish I could hang on to the very unlikely situation that he sticks around. But I think at this point we got to start accepting the reality that's in front of us.
It's Lions football, but at least at the very least that, you know, the 81 jersey will not be, you know, hated or seen as, you know, someone who left or anything like that. But I respect him. I really do. And I wish him the best no matter what he does. I don't know if he goes into football after this, if he retires, if he comes back, or he does something else. But props.